Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Menachos Daf Nun Ches. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur picks up in the middle of a discussion that we left off with in our previous shiur. In our previous shiur, we had mentioned Shitas Rebbe Eliezer in the context of things that are brought on the Mizbeach that should not be brought there. The Gemara then discussed things brought onto not the Mizbeach itself, but onto the ramp leading up to the Mizbeach. We saw Shitas Rabbi Yochanan was that all of the items mentioned in the Tanaic source in the Braisa toward the lower part of Nun Zayin Amud Beis, that list would be forbidden on the ramp as well. Rabbi Eliezer, on the other hand, said that as far as the ramp is concerned, only Sa'or and Dvash are prohibited. And he learns that from the word Oysom. Oysom is a limitation expression that had indicated only the Shtei HaLechem and the Bikurim would be Osir to be brought onto the ramp, but not the other items mentioned in the list. Of course, we're not going to get into any detail because that was the subject of our previous shiur. The Gemara today opens up with, well, after hearing what Rabbi Eliezer's source was, namely the pasuk from Vayikra Beis, Pesukim Yud Aleph and Yud Beis, where we had read Sa'or Udvash Korban Reishis Takriv Oysom, the Gemara at the top of Nun Ches Omer Aleph says, Rabbi Yochanan, Hai Oysom Mai Ovid Lei. What does Rabbi Yochanan do with the limitation expression that Rabbi Eliezer used to derive his point? The Gemara answers, he will use Oysom as a basis for the following Tanaic source. We have on the outside margin one of the features in our Gemara marking system in the Shas Ozer are Nosei and Mivneh headings. Sometimes we combine them into one, as we do over here. The Nosei is a topic and Mivneh structural note. The structural note is designed to explain what the role of the different geometric forms and series markings are. In this case, we have a double underline with dots in it that is explained, hoi chochois, these are proofs, the ein hayochid ve'af lo hatzibur, a private individual and the public as well are not to bring lo, af lo hatzibur, mevi'in, Shnei Halechem Kinedova, the Yochid, a private person, and the public, neither one can bring the Shtei Halechem offering as a voluntary dedication. The Shtei Halechem was an obligatory offering made of two loaves of chometz bread that were brought on Shavuos together with the Kibsei Atzeres, the two Korban Shlomim, which were a Shalmei Tzibor that also happened to have the status of Kodshei Kodshim, as we saw on the previous daf. Here, the Braisa proves, mentions that this Shnei Alechem, which was featured in this posuk that we're referring to right now, the posuk of Vayikra Beis, Psukim Yud Aleph and Yud Beis, in posuk Yud Beis, it said, Korban Reishis Takriv Oysom. Korban Reishis is a reference to the Shtei Alechem. So the Braisa now picks up, second line from the top, Yochol Yehe Yochid Misnadev Umevi Kayotzeba Nidova V'korei Anibo Moitzes V'secho Tishmo V'asisa. Could it be that a private person, Misnadev, would voluntarily bring Kayotzeba, the parallel in a Nidova, the parallel meaning the there is an obligation to bring the Shtei Halechem? Well, can there be a parallel voluntary Shtei Halechem offering, and if one were to make such a vow, he would then be bound by the pasuk of Moitzes Vasecha Tishma V'Yasisa, which says that one shall heed his words and fulfill them. So, in simple terms, is a vow of that nature binding? Talmud Lomar, the pasuk says, Korbon Reishis Takrivu. The word takrivu is an expression addressing the public. The korban reishis is the shtei halechem, the public shall bring. Tzibor amarti loch velo yochid. The private individual is excluded from the shtei halechem altogether. Yochol lo yehe yochid, maybe very well a private person doesn't bring it as a voluntary offering. She'eno maybe chovasa kayotze bo, because there's no precedent of an obligatory shtei halechem on a private level. Avol yehe tzibor maybe. Maybe the public would bring a nidova, a non-obligatory shtei halechem offering. Rashi points out, where does the public come into voluntary offerings? So Rashi mentions that there's the public funds that are used at times for bringing these kind of non-obligatory offerings. So Rashi points, kigom mimol shel shofroseihen. The Brisa therefore is asking maybe the public that there is a precedent for it bringing an obligatory shtei halechem, maybe they would bring a voluntary shtei halechem. So to this we answer Talmud Lomar. Let's read that line again though before we go on. Avo yehet sibor mevi, she mevi choivoso kayotze ba. Maybe the tzibor would bring as a nedava the shtei alechem, because there is a precedent for them bringing an obligatory shtei alechem. Talmud loymar oisam. Therefore, the word osam, this limitation expression that Rabbi Eliezer used previously, here Rabbi Yochanan uses it for this point. And you can see that we've dashed, underlined the word osam, because this essentially is the main reason for bringing in this source. Uma yesh l'chol l'havi. This phrase, by the way, till the end of the Brisa, Rashi points out that in the Girsa of the Medrash in the Teres Kehanim, this line does not appear. But we have it here, and Rashi also offers an explanation for what it may mean. Uma yesh l'chol l'havi. What is it that comes as an obligation? The Pusik had made reference to Sa'or Udvash. Namely, in Pusik Yud Aleph, there was a reference to Sa'or Udvash. And the way we had read it at the bottom of Nun Zayin Amud Beis, Sa'or Udvash, Korban Reishis Takrivu Oisam. So what is the obligation of Sa'or Udvash? So the Bryce explains, Shtei Halechem min ha-sa'or. The Shtei Halechem from the Sa'or is the Chometz, and Ubikurim min ha-dvash. Bikurim are the first fruits that are brought from Dvash. Dvash, we mentioned on a previous occasion, is a reference to dates. And not only dates, but the Shiva Minim that Eretz Yisrael was blessed with, the seven different types of fruits that Eretz Yisrael was blessed with. So that's the Sa'or Dvash that come as an obligation. But they do not come as a voluntary offering. The Gemara asks, on this very point, Ushtei Alechem lo yikrivu nedava. Is that really so, that the Shtei Alechem cannot come as a voluntary offering? For HaTanya, we have the following Tanaic source. And we should point out that we also have a long question marking that goes along with this. You can see to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text a kuf that's encircled with a descending vertical dashed line, which indicates that all the lines of the Gemara that are opposite this marking form the question. So the Gemara is asking, is it really so that the Shtei Halechem don't come as an adava v'hatanya? We have the following source. Im ne'amar kol sa'or, loma ne'amar kol dvash. If the Torah warns against bringing sa'or, why is there a necessity of warning against bringing on the mizbeach dvash? The ne'amar kol dvash, and if the Torah warns against not bringing dvash, then loma ne'amar kol sa'or. Why is that necessary? Generally speaking, in a situation like this, the idea is if you say one, maybe I could figure out the other. So to this, the Bryce answers, I wouldn't be able to figure one out from the other. There are characteristics that exist by sor. Sor is a reference to chometz, and we said that's the shtei halechem, that you don't find bidvash. The yesh bidvash, there are things in dvash. Dvash, as we said before, is a reference to the fruits. Mashein b'sa'or. Sa'or, hutur mechlolo b'mikdosh. Dvash lo huter michlolo b'mikdash. Now this expression we're going to have to leave vague for right now, because this essentially is going to be the heart of the question, as the Gemara will develop it later. But in the meantime, where it's suggested that Sa'or is something that there is a leniency regarding it, that's huter michlolo b'mikdash, that even though in general Sa'or is something not to be brought on the Mizbeach, There is an example where that is compromised, or that is allowed, whereas Dvash, there is no allowance made for it. Dvash, huter b'shiorei menachos, so'or lo huter b'shiorei menachos. On the other hand, Dvash, adding fruits and things that fall under the category of Dvash, are allowed when it comes to the remnant of the mincha. Remnant really is not a good translation, but after the handful of a kometz, the kometz of a mincha, of a meal offering, is placed on the mizbeach, the balance of it, which is really the majority of it, is eaten by the kohanim. Now that shirayim can be prepared by the kohanim, even by adding dvash, adding fruits to it, adding honey to it, which is something that you would not have been allowed to do with regard to the kometz. So dvash, there's a heter for the dvash with regard to the shor minochus. Sar lo huter b'shor minochus, however, to allow the shiore minochus, the balance of the minochus that are eaten by the kohen, to turn into chometz, that is not allowed. So we see a leniency with regard to dvash that you don't find by sa'or. The ha mipnei sheyesh besor ma she'ein b'dvash, v'yesh b'dvash ma she'ein besor. As a result of this, you see that there are elements that exist in dvash, in sa'or, that you don't find by dvash. We'll say a leniency that you find by sa'or that you don't find by dvash, and a leniency that you find by dvash that you don't find by sa'or. Therefore, I wouldn't have been able to state one and figure the other from it. Hutzruch lomar, therefore it was necessary for the pasuk to say kol sa'or, but hutzruch lomar kol dvash, and therefore it was necessary to tell us each one of these, the sa'or and the dvash, that they are both not allowed to be brought on the mizbeach. So if we review that last point, it would come out like this: had we told you only sa'or is not allowed to be brought on the mizbeach, I wouldn't have been able to figure out that dvash is not allowed, because after all, we find certain leniencies by dvash that you don't find by sa'or. So maybe, if I tell you that sa'or is restricted, I wouldn't know that dvash is also restricted, and likewise the other way around. Therefore, it's necessary to tell me regarding both of these elements, sa'or and dvash, that neither one is allowed to be brought on the mizbeach. We had an expression in this source, Sa'or dehuter michlolo b'mikdash, and if there's any trouble in finding where this particular phrase comes from, so we provide a little arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, pointing to the line where you see this mentioned above, Sa'or huter michlolo b'mikdash. So what does that mean? My nihu. Lav, does it not mean shtei halechem? Shtei halechem is sa'or, is chometz. The karva nedava, that it can be brought as a voluntary offering on the mizbeach. So that's the question. We said above unequivocally that shtei halechem are not brought as a nedava. From this source, it would seem that they can be brought as an adava. In other words, the leniency that exists by sor, that doesn't exist by dvash, is that a voluntary offering of chometz loaves would be allowed on the mizbeach, whereas a voluntary offering of fruits on the mizbeach would not be allowed. Amar Rav Amram loy. Rav Amram says that's not the pshat in this phrase of sor tuhuter mechalu b'mikdash. Rather, likrav imohem. When the shtei halechem are brought, there are two sheep that are brought along with it. So, sa'or huter michlol b'mikdash means that the sa'or offering of the shtei halechem, that which comes along with it, is put on the mizbeach. Whereas, you don't have that phenomenon when it comes to the bringing of the bikurim. The Gemara asks, hey, one second, we in fact do have a parallel by the Bikurim. So you can't say that this is a feature that Sa'or has, Sa'or being the Shnei Lechem, over the Dvash, which is the Bikurim. The Gemara asks, Ihochi Bikurim Nami? In fact, with regard to the first fruits that the people of Israel, the Jews, bring to the Kehanim, to the Beis HaMikdash, also has this phenomenon, this Nan. The source says, HaGozolos Shalgabi HaSalin. The Salin are baskets. Gozolos are birds. Birds that were brought together with the baskets of fruits, Hoyu Oilois. The birds were offered as Ola sacrifices, as birds, Ola sacrifices. So we see, just like the Shtei Alechem, animals accompanied it and were put on the Mizbeach. Bikurim, you have birds that accompany them and are put on the Mizbeach. The Gemara says, no, there is still lack of parallel. And therefore, Sor has the feature of Korev Imohem. Hanohu is a reference to the birds, the gozolos, le'ater bikurim hu da'asu. They come to decorate the bikurim. They are brought as an accoutrement to the bikurim, but they're not an obligation that is part of the bikurim. Whereas the kivsei atzeres, the two sheep, are an obligation that are brought together with the shtei halechem. As we turn to the Gemara and continuation of the Gemara, we have a topic heading that accompanies this, the nosei that you see in the outside margin. We've written Hamale Mibsar Chatas Ha'oif al Gabi Hamizbeach. What is the halacha if one takes the meat of a bird sin offering and puts it on the Mizbeach? Well, we saw previously on the Daf Nun Zayin Amud Beis that if you take the meat of a shlomim or the meat of a korban of an animal chatos offering or the meat of an osham and put it on the Mizbeach, that is a violation of kol shemimenu liyishim harehu babal saktiru, which was the subject of our Daf Nun Zayin shiur. The question is, can we look at the Basar Chatos Of the same way? The Gemara. Boy Romi Barchamo Mirav Chizda. Hama'ale Mibsar Chatos Of Agabi HaMizbeach Mahu. One who brings to the top of the Mizbeach the meat of a bird sin offering, what is the din? And the question is in two, you have the two sides of the question are presented with the Aleph O Dilma Beis structure that we often note in our Gemara markings. You see the Aleph in the next line, a squiggle underline O Dilma presenting the second side. Kol Shimimenu Liishim Amar Achmona. The restriction that was featured on Daf Nun Zayin is putting the balance of something that had part of it placed on the Mizbeach, the ishim, into the fire. For example, a korban shlomim, so the innards of the korban shlomim are placed on the fire, and the meat is the balance that's supposed to be eaten by the owners. So to place the meat on the fire of the mizbeach would be a violation of this teaching. And once again, and that's because there was part of this sacrifice that was supposed to be put in the fire, and once it's put in the fire, the balance is forbidden to be placed in the fire. However, v'hai, the chatas ha'ov, ein mimenu le'ishim, there is no part of the chatas ha'ov that goes into the fire. And therefore, it wouldn't fall under the prohibition of kol shemimenu la'ishim. Ishim is the word for referring to fire. Oy dilma, it could be on the other hand, kol sheshmoy korban. Anything that's called a korban, the remainder of it is forbidden to be placed on the mizbeach. V'hai nami, the chatas of shmoy korban. It's called a korban. And therefore, when the chatas of is processed, so its neck is severed, there's a sprinkling of blood. True, nothing in the fire. However, after the sprinkling of blood, there's the balance. The balance is supposed to be eaten. What happens if you put that on the fire? So if you say that the rule is anything that's called a korban, the balance that's supposed to be eaten is forbidden to be put in the fire. That would include the chatas of as well. Amale, the question which had been posed by Rami Bar Chama to Rav Chista answers, Kol Shishmo Karbon. The rule is based on anything that's called Karbon. V'hai Nami Shmoi Karbon. The chat itself is called Karbon. And therefore, the meat, which is the balance of it after the blood is sprinkled, that meat will be forbidden to be put onto the fire of the Mizbeach. The Gemara says that these two sides of the question as to what governs the prohibition of being placed on the Mizbeach is actually represented by two arguing Tanoim, Kitanoi. Rebbe Elezer Omer, Kol Shemimenu Le'ishim, that what is prohibited to be placed on the Mizbeach, anything from which a part of which was placed on the fire as is dictated. So when you have something that's designed to be placed on the fire, the remainder of it is forbidden. However, something that isn't designed to be placed on the fire, so the remainder of that kind of thing would not fall under this prohibition. Rabbi Kiva, on the other hand, says, Omer kol sheshmoi karbon. Anything that's called karbon, the balance, the remainder of it, is not allowed to be placed on the fire of the Mizbeach. My binayu, what's a practical difference between this analysis between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Kiva? So one of the things we just got finished learning, and it's not surprising that Rav Chista answers is the first answer to this question. Omer Rav Chista, besar chatasof, iko binayu. The issue of the meat of a bird sin offering placed on the Mizbeach would be a point of difference. If you base the prohibition on kol shemimenu leishim, well, the bird sin offering, the chatas oiv, doesn't have anything leishim, and therefore there would be no prohibition. On the other hand, it has a shame korban. So according to Rabbi Akiva, the basar chatas oiv would be prohibited. Rav Omar lug shemen shomatzura ikabinayu. The lug is a measure of oil that's brought by the Mitzora when he completes his Tahara period, his purification period. He brings a flask of oil. Now this flask of oil is called Korban, as the Gemara will prove in a minute. However, none of the oil is placed in the fire. So according to Rav, the point of difference between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Kiva would be the Lug Shemen Shel Mitzora, if that were placed on the Mizbeach. Detani Levi, Kol Korbanam. That pasuk has an inclusive word to it, kol korbanan. The rabbis, this comes to include lug shemen shel mitzora. For our purposes, you see that lug shemen shel mitzora is included under the expression korbanam. So if you say balance of korbanan is forbidden, like Rabbi Akiva, so lug shemen shel mitzora would be in violation would be a violation if one were to place it on the Mizbeach. On the other hand, none of the lug shemen shel mitzora is put in the fire. So according to Rabbi Eliezer, there would be no iser, no prohibition of placing the lug shemen shel mitzora on the fire of the Mizbeach. Tanu Rabbanon. We have a Tanaic source, as you can see, it too is framed. Seor lo taktiru. Ein li elo kuloi. Miktsaso minayin. Part of Seor. How do I know that that is prohibited? Talmud lomar, kol. The Pesuk says, kol Seor. That includes even part. Eruvo minayin. A mixture. From where do I know that is prohibited? Talmud lomar, ki kol. The Gemara asks, oh, this source is actually quite vague. Mai ko'omar. What are the quantities that are underlying this source? This source mentioned, I know that there's a prohibition of putting chometz, a sor, on the fire, only if you put the full amount. If you put part of the amount, what is that too is usur because of the word kol. Well, what amounts are we talking about? So here in this Gemara, we will have a machloikis Abaye and Rava. You can see under our mivneh note, the house form is illustrated. And the house form represents Abaye and Rava's explanation of this particular source. So we start with Abaye. Omar Abaye, Hochi Komar. This source means as follows. And we've framed the Hochi Komar because this is the intent of the intent of the source, so we treat it as if it's a Tanaic source as well. Seor lo taktiru. The Torah warns against offering chometz on the Mizbeach. Ainli elo kezayis. I would know that the prohibition covers a kezayis. That's if I had just the expression seor lo taktiru. Chatzi zayas minayin. From where do you know that even a half kezayis, half olive size of chometz placed on the Mizbeach would be in violation? Talmud lomar kol. The word kol comes to tell me even a chatzi zayas would be prohibited. A ruvo minayin. Rashi explains a ruvo is where you took the chometz and mixed it with matzah so that the chometz is not nikur in and of itself. But it's there because it's part of this mixture. From where do I know that that is forbidden? Talmud lomar ki kol. The extra words include the eruvo as well. Rava omar hochi komar. Rava now has his approach. Seor bal taktiru. The pasuk had said seor lo ki kol seor lo taktiru. So the phrase seor lo saktiru ein li elo koimetz. I would understand from that only a complete handful of chometz meal offering. Chatzi koimetz minayin. What about a half of a handful? Talmud lomar kol. The word kol tells me that even a half handful would be in violation of being placed on the mizbeach if it were chometz. Eruvo minayin. What if it's mixed with matzah? Talmud lomar ki kol. B'mai komifligi. What is the point of machlokis between Abaye and Rava? Let's note that according to Abaye, there is a violation if one offers even a chatzi zayas. Abaye sovar. The Gemara now explains each shita. Abaye holds. Now Abaye that says that there's a chiyuv even on a chatzi zayas, he holds yesh koimetz pochos mishnei zaysim, that a koimetz, the handful, can contain less than two olive quantities of flour. Now, since the basic koimetz contains less than two zaysim of flour or of a meal offering, when the pasuk adds the word kol to include even half of that, what do you come out with? You come out with a number that's less than a kezayis, because if you're starting off with the full amount is less than two, the half amount, which is alluded to by the word kol, is going to be less than one kezayis. So what follows from this point of yesh koimetz pochos mishnei zesim, the yesh haktorah p'chusa mikazayis, that in order to be in violation of haktorah, the act of haktorah covers an amount even less than a kezayis. This is quite different than the way we treat, let us say, things like shiur of achila. The shiur of achila in general, the standard eating, in order to be in violation of eating that which is prohibited, we talk about the eating of a full kezayis quantity. But according to Abaye and the realm of haktorah, of forbidden burning, that exists even at less than a kezayis. The Rava Omar, Rava, who disagreed with Abaye, his basic point is ein kometz pachos mishnei zesim. A full kometz is never less than two full olive quantities. As a result of that, when the word kol comes to include even less, we say it comes to include even half that amount. Nevertheless, if your full amount is two zaysim and not less than that, so half of that is one zayas. And as a result, you come out saying, v'ein haktora p'chusa mi kezayas. And therefore, you can't, therefore there is not, the concept or the phenomenon of haktora doesn't exist at less than a kezayas. So as far as Rava is concerned, all that the word kol comes to include would be a half kometz. But the half kometz, according to Rava, as we just got finished saying, is going to be no less than one aleph quantity, one zayas. As we go on in the Gemara, we have a Nosei Mivneh heading, in which we feature a diamond. The diamond will highlight Rava and Abaye. We will see a Machloikis b'mikre she'irev sor udvash. Someone mixed chometz with fruits. V'helon al-gabi ha-mizbeach, and brought it on the mizbeach. Kama loikin, how many lashes will one be subject to? Of course, we're talking about the pasuk that says he calls sor v'chol dvash lo saktiru. There's a law. There's a negative command. Negative commands, when they involve, generally speaking, without getting involved with shitas Rabbi Yehuda, for example, generally speaking, negative commands accompanied by an action, where the negative command is violated through an action, there is malchus. There's lashing that is meted out. What happens if someone actually mixes sor and dvash and places it on the mizbeach? Omar, so the Gemara, Itmar, Hamale Misorud Mitvash Al Gabi HaMizbeach, one who puts a mixture of Sor and Dvash on the Mizbeach. Omar Rava, Loike Mishul. Now, before we read any further, we just want to note, Rava will tell us there are four sets of lashings, four Malkios for this one Haktorah. Loike Mishum Sor. He, in fact, is putting Sor on the fire. Veloike mishum dvash, and also lashings because of the fruit presence. Loike mishum eruve sor. We just got finished with a Tanaic source that spoke about ki kol, and ki kol came to include situations where the sor and the dvash, the sor or the dvash, is in a mixture. Here they are in a mixture; they're mixed with each other. So that represents a separate iser, a separate violation. And therefore, he says, Loke mishum eruve sor, umishum eruve dvash. We've underlined the word mishum. You can count up, you see, four violations here. Abaye Omar, ein loiken alav shebecholos. Abaye says that there is an exemption with regard to lashings when it comes to lavim of this nature. Lav shebecholos. The pasuk says, "says ki kol sor v'chol dvash." The truth is that the pasuk didn't say ki kol sor udvash. There's an extra kol over here. Not only that, but kol sor includes, we'll say, information beyond that which is actually stated. For example, we said there is the violation of the substance itself, and there's a violation of the substance in a mixed form. This is called a klal, but it's a lav shebecholos. It's a negative command stated in this inclusive fashion, where there's a separate klal for sor and a separate one for dvash. This is called a lav shebecholos. And as we said, when you have a lav like that, the Gemara will say at the very end of this Amid, it doesn't resemble the archetype of negative commands that warrant lashings. When we say the archetype, the prime example of that is the pasuk that says, Lo sachsam shor bedisho. One is not allowed to muzzle up an animal while it's being used to plow. And right next to that pasuk in the Torah is the pasuk that refers to lashing. So we learn from that in order to get lashing, the violation has to be similar to that lav which is right next to it in the Torah, namely lo sachsam shor bedisho. That iser, that prohibition of muzzling up an animal, is we'll call it a straightforward type of prohibition, and it doesn't come to include other things that are not stated explicitly. Therefore, if you have a lav, and of course we're talking according to Abaye right now, if you have a lav, a negative command that tends to include beyond that which is stated in an explicit fashion, that's a lav shebecholos. So Abaye says there's an exemption. One thing we have to say unequivocally, Abaye is going to be lenient with regard to the lashings, lenient relative to Rava. The question right now is how lenient. So to this we have, you can see we've underlined Iko de Amri and called this Aleph, and the next line also an Iko de Amri called Beit. There are two schools of thought with regard to understanding Abaye. Iko de Amri, one school of thought says Chada miha loki. That means that when you have this person who put up a mixture of sor and dvash, he will get one set of lashes for what he has done. He'll get for the sor, and he'll get for the dvash, but he won't get for the fact that it's put up as a mixture. So that's chado mihaloki. If we look in the Rashi, Iko diamri tarti lo loki mishum kol sor afagav the sor ve'iruven mishtamoi mine, even though sor and its mixture is alluded to in the pasuk, v'amaktir eruve sor, one who offers a sor the chometz in a mixed form, iko sor ve'iruven, nevertheless lo loki elo chado, instead of getting two lashings he gets one, v'chein chado mishum eruve dvash, and likewise with regard to the fact that the dvash is put up on the Mizbeach in a mixed form, he gets one lashing for the Dvash, but not one in addition to the fact that it's placed in a mixed form. So that's one approach. The Iko de Amri, another approach to Abaye, is Chado Nami Lo Loki. He in fact gets no lashings. The Holo Mechad Lave Kelav de Chasima. Because it's lav, the negative command, is not a singular negative command, as is the case with regard to the prohibition of muzzling an animal. In the case of muzzling an animal, it's a singular, straightforward prohibition to muzzle an animal while it is threshing. Lo sachsam shor b'disho, disho is while the animal is threshing grain on grains, the animal has to have the ability to eat from that which it's threshing. And therefore, there's a prohibition of muzzling it up. But there are no other, we'll say, other hidden prohibitions that are included in that particular negative command. That's not the case when we're dealing with ki kol sor and kol dvash. Here, there is, beyond the prohibition of the sor, there's the hidden, additional violation of sor in a mixed form. So, being that we have this alluded to extra violation, it doesn't parallel the archetype of sin for which one does get lashing, namely the case of muzzling the animal, and therefore only in lavim that are like the case of muzzling of animal will there be lashes. But in these kind of lavim where you have additional violations alluded to in the pasuk, there are no malchus whatsoever. That's according to this second opinion in interpreting Abaye. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.